Cinder Block Brewery and 610 Sports Radio presenting Il Padrone, a playoff pilsner to kick off the playoffs. We're going to release it on Friday night. Come on out, 6 o'clock. Cinder Block Brewery will tap that keg. The release party is open and free to the public. Bink will be broadcasting live at 6. Join us at Cinder Block Brewery. We'll have a little playoff beverage together, Il Padrone, on Friday night. All right, we were talking about the Joe Montana documentary, which is going on Peacock right now. Mm-hmm. And I just found a lot of similarities, like Mahomes and Montana.
There's a ton. I mean, there's a ton of just you watch Joe Montana play, and you're like, we're watching that right now. Like, we all think what Patrick Mahomes is doing is new, and then you watch the Joe Montana documentary and go, oh, my God, how many times do you think, in all honesty, that – you know, with that West Coast offense being the exact offense that we're running here in Kansas City, right? Andy Reid coming from that Bill Walsh. How many times do you think he sat down with Patrick and showed him tape of Joe Montana? I bet more than we think, because you mentioned the shovel passes. You mentioned rolling left and throwing right. Like, you're watching Joe Montana, you're like, that guy was doing that stuff in the early 80s, and here's Patrick Mahomes doing it now. Now, he's doing it to a different level than Joe Montana did, like the no-look pass, the left-handed pass, the, you know, the 75-yard. Like, Joe Montana didn't have much of an arm compared to Patrick Mahomes, but he made play after play after play, and just like he keeps plays live back then. I mean, it really is very similar to what Patrick Mahomes is doing it, except Patrick Mahomes is doing it at a level that Joe Montana or nobody could.
Oh, I don't know, multi-sport high school guy. He wasn't the most heralded quarterback, but went and played quarterback anyway.
And had a fight for playing time in college, and then got playing time in college and had it taken away and had to fight back for more playing time in college.
Found the perfect coach in the pros. I mean, give me a break.
I mean, it's so similar. Yeah, I didn't even consider all that other stuff you just thrown out there. Like, Joe Montana and Patrick Mahomes are basically on the exact same type of path when it comes to kind of telling the story of who they are as quarterbacks and athletes, because the whole athlete thing we said was Specter yesterday. He's like, I don't think he's that good of an athlete. I go, the man was winning dunk contests at Notre Dame over basketball players. Like, he was beating the basketball players at Notre Dame, and guys like Kelly Trepiuka, who was like an all-star back in the day, was on that Notre Dame team. There were like three, like, holy crap, that guy was Notre Dame team and Montana could have played with them. Unbelievable athlete. Like, the whole documentary so far has changed my image in thinking of who Joe Montana was. I just thought he was a really good comeback guy who knew how to win with a noodle arm. That's not the case at all. Yeah. This guy was a stud athlete.
The basketball part was interesting to me because I didn't know this. I knew he played high school basketball, but he said that he wanted to walk on the Notre Dame basketball team, and the head football coach at the time, Dan Devine, agreed. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can
play basketball.
You can play basketball as well, but you have to go to all the football practices.
Right.
And he's like, okay, fine. That's fine. I'll do both. It's fine. And then he moved the football practices to the exact same time as the basketball practices so that he couldn't go.
Correct. And if you're Digger Phelps at that time, why don't you say, you know what, we're gonna change move time of basketball practice. We want to get Joe out
probably
here.
Probably felt like, well, he's just a walk. I mean, he's just a walk-on. We got three pretty good guys.
Yeah.
He's going to have to come off the bench here. He's like a be the superstar basketball player, but apparently he tried to play both at Notre Dame. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to get to, Dwight Clark, of course, famous for the catch. You can see that statue in San Francisco when the Chiefs play out there next year. Mm-hmm. You can go check it out. It's really cool. But Dwight Clark speaking about Joe Montana sounds a little bit familiar, too.
Bill Laimbeer, Kelly Trepiuka, and Orlando Woolridge were all on that Notre Dame team, right? Yeah. And Joe Montana could have played on that team.
Yeah. Here's Dwight Clark waxing Joe Montana.
My amazement with Joe is always that in the frickin' situation that sends you to the Super Bowl, he's rolling right, Freddie slips, and he's covered. There's three Cowboys in front of him, so he can't run. Has the calm to say, I got to get these guys up in the air. Pumps them, they jump, and then he throws it in the exact spot it had to be. It was just a perfect past magical moment from Joe Montana.
And that's doting on Montana.
Yes.
That could be Travis Kelsey talking about Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, like, I've heard that. Like, 30 years when we do a kind of retrospective.
He threw the ball. I didn't know I was going to be there. You know,
right.
That moment.
Yep, it's that play against the Texans, you know, in the end zone where he's got six guys surrounding him and he didn't expect the ball to be there, but Patrick Mahomes knew exactly where he was going to be and he threw it. And yeah, we've heard Travis Kelce say that before. He knows where I'm going to be before I know, you know, where I'm going to be. And that's the mark and that's the make of a really good to exceptional to wonderful quarterback. I mean, you've got to know where your guys are going to be. You have to always be thinking that one step ahead. Even if they don't know where they're going to be, you got to know where they're going to be. And you put that ball there and sometimes magically they end up where they need to be. And so, yeah, it's the similarities though are just so uncanny, Josh, just so uncanny between the two.
So if you get a chance, check it out. It's on Peacock. I think the third and fourth episodes come out this week and maybe they get to the Chiefs. I want to say it's six parts.
Yeah.
But they're doing like 2 a week or something for a number of weeks.
Now that's clearly the greatest play in their franchise history, mm-hmm. right? The catch, mm-hmm. the greatest play in Chiefs history. I still think is 65 toss power trap, right? I mean, that's kind of been the one that's been here forever, right? Everybody talks about 65 toss power trap. Now,
well, I mean,
WASP,
just the
obviously
whole,
for this generation is the play.
Yeah. I mean the whole aura around it and the mic,
yeah.
having mic'd up in that era. And it's got a mystique that'd be pretty hard to beat.
But yeah. You know what? The WASP is mic'd
up
too.
I know.
You got Patrick Mahomes. Do we have time to run WASP? Do we have time to run WASP? And they go out there and they run WASP and it works and they come back and they beat the San Francisco 49ers. But I think from a franchise perspective, that 65 toss power trap is always going to be the premier play of their organization's history. And I wanted to ask you guys this, and you can weigh in on the text line as well at 913-576-7610. When the new downtown baseball stadium opens for the Royals, what would be the greatest play in their franchise history that you could depict in a statue type feature like they do with the catch for Joe Montana?
I mean,
out of
I always
San Francisco,
thought,
because I think for the new Arrowhead, it is 65 toss power trap.
I think, I still think just because, I mean, it's the perfect statue.
Is Alex Gordon. But he's going to be at the left field gate.
It's the perfect, I mean, it's just the perfect thing to make into a statue.
Sure it is. It's great. It's wonderful.
Right?
But that's the left field gate.
Right.
So I'm talking about like if you're putting one play where you've got 9 guys out there for baseball and you're recalculating or remaking the perfect play, the best play in Royals history. Yeah. Is it Denkinger getting that call?
I mean, I
or is it the celebration in 85?
The celebration
is really good.
would be a good, you know, multi-player statue.
Is it Hosmer coming home? But that's all Mets players. You don't necessarily want that. I mean, do you want the last
But you could have like an airborne Superman looking Hosmer statue, right?
You could. That could be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you could be like, you could play like, you know, upset Met fan in the background or something like that for photo op opportunities. But the Royals have had so many just different plays over the years. It's hard to pinpoint what their play would be with the 49ers with the catch, like the Chiefs would be with 65 toss power trap. Some teams just have that one iconic play that, you know, when you think about that organization, that's the play you're going to talk about. And I think for the Royals, there's been so many of them and so many in recent vintage too, with 14 and 15, which play would be depicted? What is the greatest play in Royals history?
You did it again. NFL, Chiefs fans are a part of this as well. The Saturday doubleheader, which was billed as Monday Night Football.
Correct, yes.
On a Saturday. ESPN,
right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the five most watched Monday Night Football games in the ESPN era.
That's good, because there were games that had good teams and good players, you know?
Yeah. The Cowboys-Eagles is the third most watched game. The Chiefs and Broncos was the fifth most watched game since they've gotten... ESPN's got Monday Night Football.
Now
that
is amazing
date back, you know, 30 years or anything, but they pulled a really big number on Saturday afternoon and evening for the NFL.
Yeah, 40 plus million people, you know, watch those two games combined. The Dallas one is the number that shocks me because that thing was a blowout. I mean, that wasn't even a close football game. The Eagles didn't play any starters.
I'm telling you, Dallas scores.
Dallas does. It really does. But they had 20 some million people watch that game against the Philadelphia Eagles who didn't start anybody in that game. And of course, it was a Saturday night. It was just right after the holidays. A lot of people are home anyway, avoiding whatever Omicron or whatever the case may be. So you have kind of a captive audience at that point in time, even with a blowout game. But I mean, 40 million people watching the NFL on Saturday is just an extreme number.
All right, and then I guess I owe apologies to college football.
Yeah,
maybe you just leave it where it's at. I haven't been a big fan of having the Monday night after week 18. 22.6 million viewers tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest cable broadcast since 2020. the most watched non-NFL sporting event in 2 years.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That was a huge number.
They had a huge number on Monday.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
I was stunned by that. I stunned that the college sport, the national championship game would get that many, because a year ago when it was Alabama and Ohio State, only 18 million people watched that
game. And the numbers were down for the semifinal, but they were up for the final.
Up for the championship game. And it's amazing when you think about it, because of how, you know, much of the East Coast and Central time zones you lose as the night goes on, because it gets later and later. But that just goes to show you the power of the SEC, Josh. I mean, I'm sure if it was another conference that was in there, if there was another Big Ten team in there or something like that, it probably wouldn't have drawn that number. The people in the South, they got nothing else to do except watch college football. That's a big night for them.
They will just tune in.
Yeah.
We'll get the results of our first comeback bracket and release the second on the anniversary of the comeback win versus the Texans next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Giving Props is a weekly free-to-play contest that runs throughout the playoffs. Go to betql.com/props right now and you can sign up. 10 props have been posted around this weekend's games. A couple of them are Tom Brady over under 294.5 passing yards.
Against the Eagles defense, I'm going to take that over, I think. I think I'm going to go over
that
under.
I don't feel 300 in the playoffs.
How much are you rooting for the Eagles to go out there and slap Tom Brady around? I want to see a Philadelphia-Kansas City Super Bowl. Like, nobody has talked about that.
I wouldn't mind a rematch.
Tampa versus Kansas City.
I don't want to see that again.
I do want a piece of them.
I don't need revenge. I just want to face the opponent that I think we have the best chance of beating.
Okay, well, that's fine.
The Eagles, and Tom Brady is not the answer to that question.
You're probably right.
No, but nobody's talking about the possibility when the playoff bracket came out nationally about a possibility of Kansas City versus Philadelphia. Like, all of a sudden, people are going to wake up and go, oh, my God, if the Eagles find a way to beat Tampa and the Chiefs obviously move on.
Because they're not going to.
I understand, but think about that. Andy Reid versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl. What a great story that would be.
So at betql.com/props, Travis Kelce over under 87.5 yards.
I feel like that's a huge over for that one, right? Don't you feel like Travis Kelce's going to get over that number?
I feel like he's got a 100-yard day in him.
Yeah, I think he does too. I'm going to bang the over on that one.
The person with the most correct picks this week wins $2,000 just by signing up. You'll automatically be entered into a random grand prize draw. Someone's going to win $10,000. Head over to betql.com/props right now and make your picks. That's betql.com/props.
I want to ask you this one because you've seen it up close and personal. Najee Harris over under 77.5 rushing
yards.
He
was over last time.
I know. So what do you think?
They're going to feed him the ball.
Yeah, I think they are too. And I think that's what you do against this Chiefs defense. Yeah. They have not shown, you know, recently anyway, that they have the ability to stop that run consistently. It's been a run fest against this Chiefs defense the last couple of weeks. So I think I'm looking at that. Najee Harris over under 77.5. I'd probably take the over on that one. Has Frank Clark weighed in yet this week about Najee Harris and stopping them like he did with Derrick Henry a couple of years ago?
Not yet.
This is Frank Clark's chance to shine,
right?
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah. It's only Wednesday. We'll see. It's the anniversary of the Chiefs comeback against Houston, so we're pitting comeback versus comeback today. Little Chiefs versus Royals, playing some of the great highlights of those two matchups. So our first hour, comeback v. comeback, Dirty Dan foiling the fake punt,
right,
did beat Dyson stealing third and giving the old zoom zoom. So Dirty Dan wins. Dirty Dan wins
Dirty
a poll.
Dirty Dan wins something.
Won a poll.
He should come in today and collect a certificate or something because he never wins a vote of the fans.
So see, Dirty Dan, there's some love out there for you. Our second one's up right now at 610 Sports KC. It's Christian Colon.
Here's the pitch. Colon swings, chops it toward third. Donaldson charges. No play. Unbelievable. The Royals have tied it in the bottom of the 12th.
That's right. They tied game in the bottom of the 12th. On Christian Colon's RBI infield single. There you go.
The play that like nobody talks about from that game is that one right there.
And it's pitted up against what kind of jump-started the Chiefs' comeback, which was Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman takes it at the one-yard line. Now veers to the right side. He gets to the 20, 25, 30. He's got a block. He's at the 40 on the angle, midfield. At the 45, stops and stays in bounds. He's up the sideline and all the way down to the Houston
30, 25-yard line, a 58-yard return. So that kind of fueled the, okay, yep. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
So those two are this hour's comeback v. comeback highlights. You can vote at 610 Sports KC on Twitter, and we'll reveal that coming up at 8:30. We'll reveal our third play of the day.
And so far, Cologne is running away with this one. So far in the early voting right now at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. Yeah, he has 84% of the vote right now, which is a huge number, and it just went down to 80% of the vote. So some people are now starting to weigh in for Mecole Hardman's kickoff return. But both of those plays, I think you look at as kind of, yeah, I mean, you could pick any play from that Royals comeback, but those are kind of like the catalysts right there for what really started that true comeback for both of those teams. And I mean, you talk to people with the Chiefs 2 years now removed from that game, and they'll tell you that Mecole Hardman punt return was the thing that changed everything around for them.
Yeah. Other things you'd like to come back as well. 913-576-7610 on a comeback Wednesday.
I'd like to have the defensive midseason come back and play. Yeah. I think that would be what we need for the postseason. The defensive midseason.
Rallying to the football would be great.
Yes, the good tackling that we saw. Not the last couple of weeks of tackling, but you know, the pre-Christmas break defense that we saw here in Kansas City. Let's go. Give me that defense back. I'd love to see that potentially come back. What about you? What do you want to
come everybody back? Always says White Castle, but my stomach does churn every time I think about it.
Yeah, it does.
And I have passed a White Castle or two recently and abstained.
Right.
Because the stomach just doesn't, all it takes is one time and you're like,
yeah, I'm out. Yeah. See, I lived in a hotel for 89 days in St. Louis, and in the parking lot was a White Castle. Mm. You know how many times I went? Once.
Wow. Good for you.
It was like St. Patrick's Day. I'm like,
oh, that's a bad combination.
And then I ordered like chicken sliders or something.
Come on.
It just didn't
Who
work.
Who goes to White come Castle on. And gets chicken sliders?
I do. Yeah, look good on. I think they were like buffalo chicken sliders or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you got 18 pitchers of green beer in your gullet at that point in time. What are you going to order, right? It was like, it sounds good. I think I'm gonna eat up on that one. So, but for me, no, we're not. White Castle does not need to come back. If you want White Castle bad enough, go to your grocer's freezer.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, I know it's not. It's not. It's not. But I like, if you were to tell me like we could get White Castle and then no other restaurants would come here, I'm like, keep White Castle out. I don't need that. Like, that's not that truly is one of those that it's not here, so it's better than it is.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
In-N-Out is not here, but In-N-Out is phenomenal. And if it was here, it'd be still phenomenal here. White Castle is one of those that you see and you think about your youth and your childhood and you think it was good and you're like, man, it really isn't.
I was just really disappointed when we moved here, we lived close to the one on Metcalf that was closed, and then I think it's a Starbucks.
It's a Starbucks now.
Right?
Yeah, that's
but I was
the
always
last
finding
one that
my, I was like, oh man, it just closed. What happened? So I'm kind of pining for it ever since. But I've eaten it since, and yeah, you don't feel great.
Yeah, like the Little Caesars, I wish was back.
It was
in
more accessible.
Variety.
Yeah, the
crazy bread.
The number of Little Caesars would be great.
Yep,
a very Joko problem, but it is hard to find a meal after like 8 o'clock in Johnson County.
Well, anywhere
right
anymore. I mean, because nobody's working.
Because every place is closed.
Yeah.
Lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to go to Sonic yesterday.
That Sonic, you have like had this crazy like fascination with.
Well,
over
they were
the
back open.
It's back
they were
open.
Back open.
Yeah.
6:30 last night, lights out.
Closed.
6:30?
6:30 done.
Well, dinner's at 5.
I still think they have enough staff or whatever. What's
population
another place?
80
closed.
Plus?
Yeah, closed.
Like, I guess the universe is saying cook a home meal.
Mm-hmm.
But I've already committed.
You've already committed. So what did you do?
We went to Chick-fil-A. Very much open. But it is difficult to find. I tend to eat later, especially on the weekends and stuff. You can't. Nobody's open anymore.
You got to plan earlier,
so
man.
I'd like for that to come back.
I think it is telling you to probably eat at home.
Very,
right?
Very food related on that one today. I don't know why. So. Very food related what you'd like to come back. But you can weigh in as well at 913-576-7610. Little Caesars might be the worst pizza ever made.
Yeah, but crazy bread is the best thing that any pizza restaurant offers.
I know.
They have 35% more pepperoni.
That's the other thing. The extra pepperoni it's going crazy.
That one
now
with the nacho cheese on it was really good.
It was. The pretzel crust one?
Yeah.
Pretzel
crust
with
nacho cheese was really good.
But the thing with Little Caesars is we've said over time and time again, you've got to eat it right away. And, you know, we have time during the day to do thinking, Josh. It's not just the crazy bread that you have to eat hot, it is the pizza as well from Little Caesars. If you don't get the Little Caesars Caesars pizza and eat that piping hot. That leftover Little Caesars isn't that good. But fresh out the sack, I mean, it is so freaking good to have that Little Caesars pizza.
Someone says they'd like Betty White back.
Oh, that's a good one. Man, I do. Yeah, I would love Betty White
back. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. There were a few White Castles. I knew that.
Of course, there would be, right?
Those were going to come in because it is always the first one we think of.
You know what I would like to have back? Airlines that actually do their job and get you to where you need to go and not cancel every flight that you're on.
Were they ever good, though?
I don't think so. Probably the worst run operation in the history of the free world. The airlines. All of them. Not just directional airline here or there. All of the airlines are so poorly run.
Someone said, I would like to say the mullet, but it's already back.
It's already back, baby.
It should never have come back.
Yeah, it is 100%
back. I don't
know
that it ever left. Let's be honest.
Well, it depends on where you live. Yeah.
Shoney's.
Shoney's would be a really good one, too. I loved Shoney's when I was a kid, and you would travel, and like we'd go down to the South, and you go to Shoney's because they didn't have that.
A Blockbuster.
No, I don't need to go to the video store. Everything's right at your fingertips now. Now, there was something fun about going to the video store and getting that new release and getting that last copy over somebody else and that kind of
stuff. Inevitably not finding the one you needed.
And not finding what you wanted. Yeah. Then there was the other thing. Now everything's just on demand. You don't have the fun of the video store or the back rooms.
Taking your kids to the video store, though, that's something they are missing out on.
They are missing out on that. Yeah.
It's a little too simplistic now that everything's just at your fingertips. Confident, but a little bit maybe wary. I thought Danan Hughes, Chiefs color analyst with us yesterday, here on 610 Sports Radio about this matchup with the Steelers. I think everybody's confident, but when you thump somebody the first time, maybe there's a little apprehension as to round number two.
I feel comfortable that we have an identity. We didn't have an identity back when we were 2-3 and 3-4. We didn't have an identity maybe when we were 6-4 during that streak. But once we got to winning those 8 straight games, you knew what team was going to show up on the field. And that, to me, is the recipe for success in the playoffs, is that we know who we are. We put our foot on the gas pedal. We're going to come after the quarterback. We're going to play blitz man, and we're going to make you as uncomfortable as possible in the backfield offensively. Defensively, that's defensively for us. Offensively for us, we're going to push the envelope. We're going to use an assortment of weapons. We got jet sweeps. We got bubble screens. We got McCole Hardman. We can utilize those guys closer to the line of scrimmage. And we can do a great job of running after the catch and yardage after contact with our running backs. That's what you're getting. A defense that has been just lights out in regards to pressuring opponents. And that's what you need in this type of game. You need a guy, especially with Big Ben and his inability to really be mobile anymore, you need a team that's going to be right at the line of scrimmage, in his face, and pressuring him to make decisions that he really doesn't want to make. And so I'm comfortable in the fact that we have an identity now, and that's what makes me feel really good about this Chiefs team against any AFC team.
Well, I think, Danan, and to kind of build on your point a little bit, I think the identity of this Chiefs team is Chris Jones. And we've talked about Tyrann Mathieu and how he needs to kind of keep his composure this week and not let a penalty set him off or a bad play set him off or anything like that. He's got to keep his composure. But this defense is going to be determined by Chris Jones and what he does in the middle. I mean, we talked briefly about it yesterday at one point in time. Chris Jones has had sacks in every game but three, I think, this year. Or the Chiefs have had a sack in every game but three this year, and those three games are the three that Chris Jones did not play. The two with the wrist injury and then the COVID one that he had, recently. So when he plays, he is a difference maker. He is a force, on that line of scrimmage. And Melvin Ingram has really contributed to Chris Jones being that force. But for me, the identity of this defense is all about Chris Jones. If he's out there and he's dominating the line of scrimmage and he gets you two sacks, sack and a half or something like that, it is going to be a long day for Ben Roethlisberger. And you don't have to bring him down, Josh, every single time. You got to get in his face. And I think for me, that's why Chris Jones is the catalyst of this defense. If he's going, it's going to be a long day at the office for those Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's going to free up other guys. Maybe Melvin Ingram can come in and rip somebody's face off.
There's just no secret. They get pressure up front. It's a vastly different defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we lambasted the secondary in the Cincinnati game, but
sure,
they also stopped getting to Joe Burrow.
They stopped getting to him. Absolutely.
And they were early and then couldn't. Mm-hmm. And then they feasted. Guys up front are the key.
I mean, the offensive line and the defensive line, no matter how unsexy it is, they're the key to everything. They just ran a stat on Joe Tooney on NFL Network. In 805 pass-blocking snaps, he's given up one sack this year. I mean, that right there, that's like Hall of Fame-type stuff. That's where it all starts. If Joe Tooney and the offensive line play like that, you know, through the postseason, Patrick Mahomes is never going to have to wash his uniform because it's not going to get dirty. But if Chris Jones shows up to the sack party and has himself a day, then everybody else in the defensive backfield is going to be just fine. We talk about it all the time. We blame the DBs, but you're right, Josh. That second half of that Cincinnati game, you got to get to Joe Burrow. You got to find a way to make some plays.
Get to at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. Vote for the second comeback v. comeback. Cologne ties it in the ninth versus the Hardman kick return. Tis the anniversary of the Chiefs' comeback win over the Texans. So we're doing a little comeback day here on 610 Sports Radio. There's a new product coming out. I just can't believe it took so long. And we'll shout it out. 913-576-7610. Get those topics in next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
From the what took so long department, like I feel like I'm like, oh, why did I think of this?
This is something that should have been out 100 years ago.
We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes at 913-576-7610. So get those texts in now. Anything you'd like to discuss, we'll do that coming up in just a few minutes. But this comes from Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm. Who has become America's favorite person now, I think, right?
Has been for a while, I'd say.
Right? I think right now, undisputed, everybody loves Snoop Dogg. I was telling my wife the other day, we were somehow talking about Snoop Dogg. I go,
well, because he comes up in conversation a lot.
He does, but he's everywhere. Every time you look up at the TV, he's everywhere, right? And I said to my wife, I said, if you don't like Snoop Dogg, that's a you issue now, right? Like, that's on you, because there's nothing not to like about this guy. He is...
That's a damn lie.
He is, like, comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't care what you think about him. He does his thing, and he's just happy and jovial, and, like, that's the guy who's got it figured out in life right now. And all of a sudden, every company out there is hitching their wagon to Snoop Dogg, and they should.
I think it was called the Wap Baba Lubop, the Wap Bamboo.
I mean, he's hosting post-game Olympic shows, and like the guy's everywhere right
now.
So
why did it take so long for him to launch Snoop Dogs?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hot dogs. He's getting into the hot dog business. Yes. I feel like, why? Why did this take so long?
I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times.
Snoop Dogg's brand hot dogs are going to be launched.
Now,
of course they are.
Now, where are they on the lexicon of hot dog? Are they in the Bar S variety, or are they going to be up with like the Nathan's variety, or are they going to be kind of a middle of the road kind of dog?
We'll find out. They haven't launched. They've basically got the patents and the trademark.
Yeah.
Done first. With the intent to launch.
Because I don't want to see like Bar S rebranded as Snoop Dogs, because as much as I like Snoop Dogg, I'm not eating that hot dog, right? No, like you, I think you got to be a little bit more than the 89 cent
a pack.
They
have a higher level
hot dog, right?
Yeah.
Wait, so this isn't a restaurant. This is actual hot dogs for sale, like packaging.
That's the way I read it. Yeah, like a grocer freezer or something like that.
I feel like a restaurant.
Snoop
that
Dogs
name would be,
fantastic, right? As well. Yeah, good chain hot dog restaurant. Because other than Wiener Schnitzel, what other like chain hot dog restaurant is out there? You can go get a hot dog at Sonic, but there's not many places that, you know, you can just drive in and get your hot dog 18 different ways. You want a Chicago dog, you want a New York dog, you want a Detroit dog, you want a Dirty Water dog. Like, what do you want? What kind of hot dog do you want? We need one of those places because Wiener Schnitzel ain't cutting the mustard.
So the Snoop Dogs... they plan to sell hot dogs, various types of sausage, and other products. So,
who are you?
Big Snoop Dogg from the DPJC. Oh, wait.
So, Snoop Dogs.
I like it. Like, why? Fantastic. Fantastic. And you could sell fries and root beer with all that kind of stuff, too. Oh, my God. I need a good hot dog restaurant, man. I know that place in Independence is supposed to be pretty good. Sup Dog, you ever been there?
I have not.
I've heard good things about that.
There's one that used to be not far from us,
right,
but
it was
very short-lived.
Yeah, it didn't last all that long. I wonder why the fast food hot dog has never really taken off.
I don't know. So Snoop Dogs coming to you soon. And, again, I'm just baffled. Why it didn't.
Why didn't happen sooner.
Yeah. Let's shout it out. 913-576-7610. It is brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610 and you will save 10%. What do we got going on, Julio?
All right. What we got going on. Well, is there anyone else you would rather be than Snoop Dogg? I feel like
Tom Brady, Derek Jeter.
Right, that's a close one.
Those are two that I think.
Snoop over Jeter.
Snoop over Jeter right now. But you're like, if you could trade lives as a guy, I was talking to my friend Paul about this the other day. I don't like Tom Brady. Why? The man had a moat. Anybody that has had a moat or has a moat in front of their house, I'm all in on that. Like, moat takes you to the next level. If you have a moat, you're in a rarefied air, man. How could you not? If you're a guy, how do you not want to be Tom Brady?
I mean,
supermodel wife, Super Bowl rings, money.
You don't put in the work, though.
Yeah, that is true. He has put in a lot of work. But all these guys are successful because they work.
With somebody who, again, sold their company.
Okay.
I think that,
somebody you don't know that's living
a fired coach.
A fired coach,
I think that's the life, too. That's not a bad life.
Joe Judge is cashing in for the next couple of years,
More so than probably the college ranks. You get really paid when you go away.
You actually get paid more in college than you do in the pros.
To go away,
To go away, especially. Like, that's Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
I want my 35-year-old wife's 20-year-old figure back.
Oh wow.
That's not something you probably want to put out there, right?
That was from our
internal
earlier
discussion.
Comeback segment. Leftover. You might be in some trouble.
You better not go home tonight, sir.
Be in some trouble.
Man, that's not good for you.
Not sure how this is relevant to shout it out, but I'm going to read it anyways. For lambasting, will a turkey baster work in a pinch, or do I need the lambaster? I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be a joke. I don't know how funny that is.
Yeah, no. It's a delivery sometimes, Julio.
It's a poor delivery. That's on me,
maybe,
right?
Maybe sometimes. I don't know.
Shout out to David Blackwell.
Okay. He's still around.
We
good.
All wish we could be you.
Yes,
that's
we
what
do.
It says. Yeah. Sure. David Blackwell. Big. Huge.
Shout out to Five Guys, who has the greatest hot dogs, which I've heard
I've
heard several people say that they have the best hot dogs.
So four of the dudes are working on the burger and one guy's got the hot dog thing working?
Yeah, well, it's probably the hot dog guy texting in. You're like, what about me?
Huh.
Everybody has the burgers there.
Wow. I think that's fantastic, man. Wow. I had no idea that they had hot dogs there, because why wouldn't you get a burger at Five Guys? Because they are so good. And maybe I'm caught up in the bottomless fries or whatever, but I'm like, hey, let's go.
Snoop is the new Regis Philbin. I like that.
That's a good comparison. I do like that. Like, Regis was everywhere. Everybody loved Regis. And here we sit. Yeah, maybe Snoop is the next Regis. I always thought, like, Ryan Seacrest was going to be the next Regis because he is everywhere. I just don't think Ryan Seacrest is as likable as Snoop Dogg. Ryan Seacrest is likable. I don't dislike him, but Snoop is just to a different level.
Plus, he works too hard.
Does he, though?
Yeah.
He's got like 15 shows. Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
He's flying
across
the country.
He's got enough hours in the day.
Yeah. I don't get the right.
I wouldn't trade places with that.
Work ethic thing. That's insane. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. So in LA, I got to do the show tonight. Then I got to fly to New York overnight to be on, you know, Regis and Kelly in the morning. That's tough, man.
Good for him. Shout it out to the people who opened the door for my kids in the drop off line at school.
There you go. That's a nice little. School drop-off attaboys we've ever had on the show.
That's true.
School drop-off is hell.
The pickup is the worst. You and I have never had to really deal with the drop-off.
Yeah, I guess.
The pickup is just the worst, especially
terrible,
in Johnson County, where all the Johnson County moms think their car is the only one that matters.
I just think the pickup and the drop-off are the same realms of hell. Mm-hmm. Nobody can figure it out. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station.
Shout out to my cousin Zach. I asked him to go to the Chiefs game 2 days ago. He still hasn't answered. Zach, we need an answer, buddy.
Zach, he's going to ask somebody else.
Zach, it's Wednesday. Let your cousin know he wants to take you to the game.
Jeez.
That's all we got for today, guys.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty quick response, or else.
Right? Who doesn't respond to free cheese tickets?
I can understand if Zach is married, and it's a Sunday night game. You got kids. Your wife is probably saying, "Do you really need to go out there on Sunday night to watch a football game?" So he's probably trying to convince his wife. The answer is yes, yes. If he gets invited to the game, he should go to the game. Josh will be there on the sidelines. You can wave to him. So, Zach, get off your ass and text your cousin back.
Isn't there a term limit for that, too? Like, when you offer somebody free stuff?
Well, yeah,
You have, like, 24 hours to respond.
I would think, or you're moving on to the next
person.
You're moving
on, right?
I need an answer, because otherwise I need to get rid of this ticket. Yeah. So, Zach, get on it, Zach. Mitchell Schwartz dropping by the drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio. And, he says the Steelers are boring.
It's not a brand of football that's fun to watch. It's not good. Their scheme kind of sucks. Their players are good. Their quarterback isn't. Their run game isn't. And so it's just, again, I was watching that, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I started tweeting at the beginning of the game, like, am I going to be able to get through this game watching the Steelers offense without losing my mind? And it was like midway through the first quarter, I was just like, no, like this sucks. And yeah, every third down it seems like he's throwing a negative 2 yard pass to somebody, and it's just not awesome. And then here they are in the playoffs and they've got a winning record, and it just doesn't make sense.
How do you feel about that matchup, Mitchell?
I think it sucks. I think it's very boring. I don't like what I'm watching, and they're
I hate having to watch this team.
Hey, you love the honesty, though. Mitchell Schwartz got out of the cliche mode of the NFL from when he was a player, right? He was able to break out, baby! And he broke out of that cliche mode, and
hilarious.
Now we've got him telling the absolute truth. Like, right there, what Mitchell Schwartz is saying is probably what's being said right now inside the locker room for the Chiefs. Like, they're not going to say that publicly or whatnot, but Mitchell Schwartz is less than a year removed from playing for this organization. He still knows the guys. They still talk, and that's kind of the conversation I'm sure guys are having in the locker room. This team isn't very good. Now, you can't let your guard down. You got to focus on that, but that's an honest assessment of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think even the diehard Pittsburgh fan is going to hear what Mitchell Schwartz said and probably agree.
I'm envisioning
that they're not that exciting to watch.
Other players nodding off watching games film this week.
Well, Mike Tomlin did watching the end of that Raider game.
Well,
the other
I can't
night.
Blame him. That was really late.
It was late,
really
especially late. On the East Coast. You know,
they already played too. It's a long day.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitchell Schwartz on what Pittsburgh's game plan has to be to beat the Chiefs.
I think it in a weird way they need to do like a Cincinnati light version of what we saw a couple weeks ago from the Bengals, which is just chuck the ball up and just have the one-on-one plays, have Claypool go up and get it, have Johnson juke a couple guys and get some balls. Like, I think their only chance is to have these explosive plays and to just kind of say, all right, this can be a little bit riskier. As you said, they're not a great running team, so going in and establishing the run and we got to be physical and all that, like, I don't think that's going to be the game plan to make it happen. Now defensively, they do have some pieces. I mean, we started this talking about Watt and things he can do and Hayward, and they've got guys. You know, Mink is a pretty awesome player, so they have guys that didn't matter a few weeks ago, obviously. So it's tough because I don't think anyone's expecting what happened a few weeks ago to happen again. But it's like sitting there, yeah, we just beat the crap out of you and we did it in pretty easy fashion. And to your point, it's just this Pittsburgh team makes you wish that they didn't go to 7 games because I don't think anyone's really pining to see them in the postseason. And obviously, as a Kansas City fan, we'd rather the Chiefs have a bye.
Oh, thank you, Mitchell.
Mitchell's awesome.
Very
yesterday.
Good, Mitchell.
Jeez.
What did he say about the 7 teams in the? Can you play that part of the cut there?
Well, he doesn't like 7 teams.
Play that again.
He doesn't like just the very end or just
the end part there about the 7 team one.
Okay.
Yeah.
This Pittsburgh team makes you wish that they didn't go to 7 games because I don't think anyone's really pining to see them in the postseason. And obviously, as a Kansas City fan, we'd rather the Chiefs have a bye.
So I disagree with that. I love, and I've said it now since the expansion, I didn't like it when it first happened. I went, oh, man, I like 6. I like the 2 byes. It fits into a nice box. I think the 7 teams in the postseason have added so much excitement. I mean, we wouldn't have had, Josh, week 18 the way we did if they didn't add that 7th team into the postseason. I think it makes the regular season, dare I say, even more important than it's ever been before because of getting that first round bye and getting the opportunity to have that time off. So it keeps the regular season churning and burning to the 18th week, and then it eventually will be the 19th week with 20 games that we see added in, you know, to the NFL schedule. I absolutely love the seventh game. That was one of those things that I was totally wrong about when I thought, oh man, they're going to move the seven games or seven teams are kind of water, but they're, I don't think they're watering it down at all. And I think with the NFL just being a game of, you know, one or two plays makes a huge difference. It can change the landscape of the game. I don't think you count anybody out right now in these wild card games in any seven seed. Now, Pittsburgh doesn't look like they're going to show up and play football, and it could be a potential buy for the Chiefs, but I don't want them to change the seven teams being in and revert back to the six. I think the seventh has made it even better, has taken up great product and made it even better right now.
Just not a brand of football that's fun to watch.
and they're not. But are the New England Patriots a brand of football that's fun to watch right now? I don't think so.
I love getting the bye.
Yeah, you do.
But probably not to the extent of, well, I want the bye back because we're the two.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to earn the one.
You do.
But if you're in the one, it's a big advantage.
Huge advantage.
So it's a great advantage. But otherwise, I'm just not going to argue with more playoff games. No. I think it's awesome.
I'm not going to argue with more games. I'm not going to argue with more teams being involved because much like we've talked about.
Six games.
Yeah.
I'm taking that like every day of the week.
Right.
Give me all the games on this super wild card weekend. It's terrific. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'd rather be sitting back and watching them all without having a game to be at.
Sure.
And waiting for next week and just say, oh, this is fun. Let's see how it all. Yes. But they didn't earn that position.
Right.
But if you're just stepping back and saying, do I want more playoff games? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. You want it because they're great games. You don't normally see a dud in the postseason in the NFL. I mean, you just don't. It doesn't happen all that often where you're like, okay, this game's over at halftime and you're going out to do something else. These are compelling games. They come down to the end. They make great plays at the end. You talk about the Minnesota Miracle a couple of years ago. I mean, you see these plays happen late in games that are these big time postseason moments, and I want more of them. I need more of them, and I think the league wants more of them. And expanding the playoff does so much because it allows you to have other markets involved up until the end. And so many people are watching week 18 this past week with a rooting interest one way or the other. You had Kansas City dialed in, you had Pittsburgh dialed in, you had Oakland dialed in, you had, you know, LA dialed in. Like, everybody was paying attention up until the last minute of these games. If you didn't expand the postseason to that seventh team, Josh, that Sunday night game wouldn't have meant a damn thing. The postseason would have been locked up already, and you wouldn't have had the ability to have that epic season finale like they did on NBC. That's what it's all about. It's all about the fan, and I think the seventh team has just been awesome to add into the playoffs. I love it, man. I think it's fun.
And you're not going to eight because you do like there being one advantage, right?
Well, I mean, they're going to eventually probably go to eight, I would imagine.
When we get
right?
to 18 games, yeah. They'll go to 18.
Yeah. I would think probably it's probably more money for them. You know, they probably would do it.
But I do kind of like having that one carrot out there.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's a big thing.
Because you can't
go to
one bye with eight teams in the postseason.
Correct.
You have to go to two byes at that point.
But I don't think you go back
and
to
and you're not going to go back to no byes. Like, you're not going to take that away.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But you still need that incentive, I think. I think that's the incentive.
That's why I wouldn't go to eight.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I wouldn't go to eight either, but I'm sure they will. I mean, they're going to see dollar signs here before long. Some streaming company that we don't even know about right now is probably offering them billions of dollars for an eighth playoff team.
$4.99 a month.
That's right. You're in.
Sign me up. Apparently, that's the price.
That's right.
Apparently, that's
you got them all. You get in.
Apparently, that's the price. Today, or this week, I should say, is the 50th anniversary of the first iPhone.
Oh, okay.
You can't say it's not one of the most revolutionary developments in our lifetime, right?
Right.
Even if you don't have an iPhone, you have an Android phone or whatever. All the must-haves from this. I mean, there's been nothing that's been as revolutionary as the iPhone.
Are you guys both Apple guys?
Yeah, I have an iPhone. Yeah.
I can't stand it. I'm an Android guy.
Yeah, but see, you ruin group texts.
But but your technology and having everything in your phone
is because of
comes
the iPhone.
From
because
all that, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And they pushed the arms race. Got pushed.
Right.
Right. And so now we're beholden to these things.
Oh, like, God, yes.
You get twitchy when it's not around.
Yeah.
This was an unnecessary write-up, though, from CNET. It's a technology website. 15 years ago, Steve Jobs and perhaps his most iconic...
Jobs, I think, is...
most iconic Apple keynote introduced the original iPhone, an iPod, a phone, an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
Was January of 2007. Night at the Museum was number one in the theaters. Mm-hmm. Nokia was the big name in phones. Mm-hmm. President Gerald Ford had been buried days earlier.
Oh, wow.
And then they throw this in. I don't know why. And in a wild card playoff game, the Indianapolis Colts had just defeated the Kansas City Chiefs.
Manning in his own 49 out of the shotgun. Four-man rush, quick pass, intercepted, Tyloo up the left side, 35, he's got to beat Manning, and Manning misses the tackle, Tyloo, 15, 10, and inside the 10 to the 8.
It's there, it's down, Tynes puts the ball up, and he hit the upright, nobody missing.
High set, Wilson in front of Larry Johnson, play fake, they flood the right side, Green throws it for Gonzalez, he pulls it into his body, touchdown, Kansas City, Tony Gonzalez with a playoff touchdown reception.
4:06 to go, Green out of the shotgun, takes the snap, again the pressure up the middle, again he's caught, he fumbled the ball, let's see who got it, pressure down around the 30-yard line, it looks as though Kansas City, no, the Colts got it, this was all but over.
Why are we tied into the start of the iPhone?
Seems unnecessary.
That's just an unnecessary shot. Like, yeah. Somebody who wrote that is obviously a Colts fan that's pining for better time. But you have to, that was like an irrelevant playoff game. Like, the Chiefs weren't even supposed to be in the postseason.
Colts went on to win the Super Bowl, but why you got to drag us into this? Felt like that was an unnecessary shot.
No, I mean, it was so
nice story about the evolution of the iPhone, right. The first iPhone. And they're like, oh, no, by the way, the Chiefs got kicked in the junk that week, too.
But how many people reading that even know that playoff game? Unless you're in Indianapolis or Kansas City, that's just a minor footnote in a playoff game. Like that game was not even a good football game to watch, if I remember. The Chiefs backdoored into that thing, had to have 10 different things happen on that Sunday. Sure enough, they did, and they found themselves in that playoff game, and it's like, that game against the Colts, to me, was just a game. It's kind of like the feeling you have if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Like, I remember, like, I don't want to be in this game at that point in time.
Right.
And now, here we go. Here are the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of feeling that same way, but I'm with you. You're talking about the iPhone. Why mention that game?
I don't know.
That's not even like a memorable game in the NFL.
I felt like it was a shot. I don't know. Didn't list a writer, but whoever had seen that had an axe to grind with Chiefs gut-wrenching losses to the Colts.
Yeah.
So if you don't remember that game, you look it up on your iPhone.
Sure.
You'll find it right there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have our third comeback bracket of the day and chat with forever Chiefs linebacker Joe Mays coming up next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're getting set to get married, right? And you got to do one thing, guys. You got to do one thing, and that's look good. Get your perfect suit. And you can do that with my man, Dan the Tailor Man. He's